Hello.
Welcome to episode 6 of Small Screen Couch Commentary, Avatar The Last Airbender.
Netflix edition.
Boom. On point. This ain't scripted.
No, not at all. Not at all. Off the cuff. Off the rip.
Off the top. Like I dropped my hat. No?
That was a stretch. That was a stretch. Right.
No cap. Is that what they're saying nowadays?
Yo, first off, new hat too?
No, not new hat.
Okay, but I don't think I've ever had this hat
for a minute. You might not have. I wear a lot of my favorite team's apparel. Okay. You know? Right. Also,
new hat over here, though.
Yeah.
Very, for those of you that are seeing this clip and or the full video on YouTube, got a very holiday appropriate hat on.
A little St. Patty's Day.
Yeah. Miller Lite hat. Shout out to my neighbor. I'm not going to drop names. He hit me up earlier. He's like, yo, I got a hat for you. And he knows I like my Miller Lite and I like my St. Patty's Day. So
he likes to be a combo. Keep himself secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, anyway, so what we do here, and we talk about shows, not hats. This is episode 6 already.
I know. I'm kind of sad that it's episode 6 because there's only 2 left.
Yeah.
And that means that after this is done, no more Avatar for God knows how long.
Which is scary. Yeah. It's a scary world to live in, and we lived in it for a while, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, I mean, they've obviously already greenlit seasons 2 and 3, but who knows when they're going to start shooting? Who knows when they're going to actually, you know, release it? It could be a year or more.
Could be.
You know.
I mean, they got it. They got to start shooting first. They got to do all that stuff, all the CGI work, which we'll talk about some CGI in this episode.
Yeah.
However, let's go with the snack. Before we talk about the show, what were you snacking on?
Okay, so your boy was hollering at some Kettle Cook jalapeno potato
jalapeno
chips.
Jalapeno.
Yeah.
Jalapeno.
Yeah, I do like it spicy.
Yeah, you know what? Spicy is good. Speaking of spicy, what I had for this was, shout out to Aldi's. We love Aldi's in this
podcast. That's where I got the jalapeno chips.
I got some buffalo chicken tenders at Aldi's. I always get them when I go.
Frozen section.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, they're really good. Now, they're really good in the air fryer, all right? But my wonderful mother took some of my stuff from my air fryer to clean it herself because she has a little fancy trick.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't gotten them back yet. But I did put them in the microwave and they weren't bad. With a little bit of ranch,
okay,
dipping them up, you know,
I like it.
Worked.
I like it.
Yeah, that's what I was snacking on. I want to ask you your review because I got a lot I want to say real quick. I'm going to try to say it fast, but I want you to go first.
Okay, so I gave this rating wise a 7.9. I almost was even going to drop down to a 7.8.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I'm going to drop down to a 7.8.
Oh,
I'm going to drop down to 7.8. Not a bad episode. Not a bad episode.
Not at all.
I was actually thinking after the last two being good and me liking them so much that this was like, I'm due for a bad one. This one was more heavy on the story, less on the action.
Yeah.
A little bit of action.
Yeah.
But overall, I still liked it. There were a couple glaring things, though, that made me drop the score just a smidge.
Okay. So I gave it a 7.7, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Yeah. Fairly high. And actually, I want to say, so I don't know if I'm like lightening myself up a little bit, but on second time of viewing this one and just thinking of the show as a whole,
right?
I'm really into it. You know, even though I knew it was happening in this episode, I was really into what was going on and following along a little bit more. And yeah, there were some small things I was still able to pick out because I watched it a second time. And I was like, oh, this is kind of weak, you know? However, thoroughly enjoyed this one.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it as well. There were, like I said, there were a couple things that I was kind of just like, I don't know if I like that as much. There was somebody had commented, I think it was on one of our TikToks, and I want to try and find the comment, but they made a really good comment that I liked that kind of really, it resonated with me in that, you know, the last couple episodes, I had said,
I know the
I'm
comment
starting
heard.
To, you know, let go of the OG Avatar.
Let it go.
And I'm once I was able to do that, then it helped me enjoy the show even more.
Spot on.
So I'm trying to just find that comment real quick. But you said there was a lot you wanted to say. What else did you
want to... Well, I want to say that because I really have been kind of hard on the show and still enjoying it. Don't get me wrong, but I've been hard on it. But I've kind of taken that step back. I don't know why this episode was the one I did that with. But I took a step back and I was like, hey, this isn't the animated show. These are young kids acting. This is the first go-round at it. And I don't know why. Like, when I first watched this episode, I didn't enjoy it as much as I did the second time around.
Okay.
The one thing, and I will always say that with this show, I think the big struggle is it's only 8 episodes. So we kind of rushed past something that I really wanted to be more in depth on in this episode. But that was Roku's stuff, which we'll get into. So
I found the comment here.
Go for it.
Shout out to BK Potter on TikTok.
BK Potter.
His comment on one of our recent videos was, we were asking the question, like, who is this being made for? You know, who's the audience that they're trying to make the show for? And he said, it's for people, kids to adults, who never saw the cartoon. The very second you go into it with that in mind, it becomes really enjoyable. And I agree.
I think he's, you know what? BK, you're right.
Yeah, I mean...
Mr. Potter.
It took me about half of the season, you know, to episode 4 to like
more than half for me.
Let go of and not really judge the show based on the cartoon.
On comparison.
Right.
Right.
Once I was able to say, to stop saying, okay, well, I remember this or I'm comparing it to that, I really was able to then open myself up to enjoying the show more than I already was. I mean, I was enjoying the show a fair bit. I mean, those of you remember, I was full on
Gung
that
ho.
First episode.
And on then, 3, I think, right? No, the Spirited Away one, 5.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, 5,
that was
5 and 4. I really liked both of them.
Yeah, 4 is one of my favorites. Now, I don't know. This one,
2 and 3, I think I was a little bit lower on. But either way. Yeah, once I was able to just kind of let go of the comparison, I liked it more.
Yeah.
More than I already did.
I will say there was a change in this episode compared to the anime show that I freaking loved.
Okay.
Like, they made a change, and I was like, that was such a good idea.
I'm interested to see what it is.
That was sweet.
Okay.
But anyway,
let's get into
it. Let's jump into it. So the first thing I kind of want to talk about is the opening, right? You have Zuko getting ready for a war meeting with his dad and the leaders of the army.
His first one.
Right. And he's nervous. And I want to talk about a few things here. One, you know, we forget Zuko's a kid.
Right.
Then he was obviously younger, 3 years ago. But
he's like a teenager now. So he might have even been like preteen.
He might have been, I would say, 12 or 13. Maybe 14 at the highest. Maybe.
Right.
So as you can see, he's even like breathing a little bit nervous. He's getting excited, and who comes in? Uncle Iroh.
Oh yeah,
and this is very much a scene that reminds me of a dad helping his son get ready for prom, get his suit ready.
Yo, is it crazy? I had like the same thought, like like helping him tie the tie.
Yeah,
all
exactly.
That,
and it's like this is where you really see like we all know Uncle Iroh loves Zuko.
Yeah, absolutely.
And cares for him, and especially after was it the last episode where you and I were talking about that? No, 2 episodes ago. When it doesn't matter when they were in Omashu, the final one in Omashu,
right?
Where like it really hit us like how emotional they're getting with these two characters.
Yes,
but then you come into this episode where it's like, Iroh really is. This is where you start to get the hint that he's been the father figure for Zuko for a longer time than just on that boat.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, man, but I love this scene. Like, it gave me like kind of like a little tenderness inside, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, "You look great." He's like, "Something feels off," and he like fixes his shoulder pads for him that he has on, and then he's like, it still feels off, and he's like, well, don't worry about it. And he goes, no, what is it? And he's like, your wristlings or whatever are tied incorrectly.
Yeah.
So he ties them for him, again, similar to like tying a suit for his son. And I really enjoy how the show is doing Uncle Iroh and Zuko in this. It's a little different, but also incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I think Iroh, every episode grows on me a little bit more. And to be honest, I feel like this is probably how it, if I'm trying to remember how it was, like by the end of Avatar the OG show, Iroh is my favorite character, hands down. But I think this is kind of similar how it was in the first show. Like, it's not that I didn't like Iroh, but like the more I saw of Iroh in the OG show, the more I liked him. And it's the same thing here. You know, every episode that goes by, every interaction we see, every time he's on screen, I'm like, okay, this is the Iroh that I remember.
Yeah.
And even some of the things that are different, I'm like, okay, you know, I like this.
Yeah. So, flash forward to the beginning, but we're on. Oh, did they go? They didn't go to the war room yet, right?
No, I think that was a little bit later.
Yeah. So they flash forward. They're on the boat, and his I don't forget what
I think it's Lieutenant.
Yeah, it's G, I think his name
yes.
is steering the boat. And Zuko's like, where are you going, bro?
Yeah, we're off course.
We're
here.
Off course, dude. Strain it up. And he, you know, Zuko's being Zuko to this guy. He's always kind of a jerk to him about it. And he's like, I'm staying on course. And it's like, what? And Commander Zhao walks in. All right.
Hold on. Okay. I was gonna say, as soon as I saw this episode and this moment happen,
this made me laugh.
Like, oh, this is gonna be redemption for Billy.
Yeah. So then Zuko, he's like, I told him to do it. And he's like, have you forgotten? I'm the commander of this ship. And Zhao goes, well, I'm Admiral.
Yeah.
And he's like, so
finally, Admiral Zhao.
We finally got to the point where Billy can say Admiral Zhao and not feel like an idiot. It's pretty much telling him, like, nah, little boy. Now I run the show here.
Right.
And he's like, of course, I'm going to need your help with stuff, but we got to make some changes. Admiral Zhao in this is just phenomenal.
Great, great guy. But there was one thing he said specifically here that I wanted to highlight. He says, I'm going to need your help. Actually, I expect it.
Yeah.
You know, which this scene, this interaction, I took a couple things away from it. One, I'm thinking in my head, okay, well, yeah, you might be the admiral, but I'm still royalty. Like, I might be banished royalty or whatever, but I'm still royalty. Like, who are you talking to?
Yeah.
That's what I would be thinking if I'm Zuko. But you kind of see his confidence, again, taking a step back.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Zuko, you know, a couple episodes back, if Commander Zhao was saying, hey, I'm admiral now, you know, I run this, a more confident Zuko would have been like, nah, fuck you, dog.
Yeah, maybe. But I think there's also that fear in him of, yeah, I'm a prince, but I'm banished. And if I don't do anything, like, remember, he wanted to follow all the Fire Nation rules.
True. That's true.
And
that's true.
This is where I think I had my notes, which are on my phone, which I don't have on me. But I believe it's almost like reminiscent of him talking about how Xi shouldn't have been saying anything about gossiping about Zhao. He
right.
shouldn't have been arguing with a higher up.
True.
In Admiral Zhao.
Well, here's the other thing that I took away from this interaction here is that Zhao obviously had been planning this all along. Maybe he didn't know where he was going to end up, but he was planning on taking over
yeah.
the situation
and
from the gate.
At the very least, getting the recognition of if the Avatar gets caught, it was because of Zhao, not because of Zuko.
Right. But this is where, you know, Zhao obviously has a turning point in his character, in his arc here, so far anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And because up until now, I was like kind of just like, okay, Zhao's on an upward trend, and I think this is his peak right here in this moment.
Right. It might be.
I don't know. We got two episodes left.
That's it.
But
The one other thing I want to point out in this scene is, again, Zuko's just a kid, so Admiral Zhao leaves. And he starts throwing a fit and like just like a child would, you know, and it kind of like still clicks in you here. He's just a kid doing all this stuff, going through all this. Like, I think we forget all the characters here at kids.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they are definitely still. I don't want to say Aang's a child. Aang's a child for sure.
He is a child.
Katara and Sokka.
Katara's early teens.
Right.
Sokka's probably 17, 18. Same age as Zuko.
Same with Zuko. But they're still kids. They're still very young. They're still very inexperienced in the way of life, in figuring out who they are, figuring out what their role is in all of this.
Yeah. So they're
going
through
some.
It's
a lot to deal with.
At that age.
It's a lot to deal with for an adult. You're in war times.
Yeah.
You don't know what's, you know, you're going to live or die the next day. Imagine being a kid dealing with all
right,
this stuff.
Exactly. So, and the last thing to take away is after Zuko leaves, Iroh is just like, hey, you know, I know he's not been the nicest to you, but he's still been with you for these last 3 years. And G just lays into it. It's like,
yo,
he's treated us like shit, blah, blah, blah. He may be a prince, but he's not my prince.
Right, right. And he even makes it a point to say that, you know, he's disrespected us, and that if he wanted, you know, our loyalty, that he wouldn't be disrespecting us. He went in, and I don't know why I thought it initially, because it wouldn't have made sense for it to happen. I thought for a hot second Iroh was gonna be like, and roast home.
Really,
it wouldn't have made sense to do that. But in the moment, as I'm watching it, like he's laying into Zuko, but he kind of also is coming at an eye roll a little bit, in my opinion.
It's his son, you know what I mean?
Right. He's kind of his handler, so to speak. You know, and so I'm thinking Iroh was going to be offended and like roast him. But obviously that wouldn't have made sense. That's not in Iroh's character.
No.
He's not trying to hurt people. But, yo, I thought for a second we were going to have like a quick change. And I'm like,
no, I kind of like, I think Iroh handles it. He's just like, there's a lot to him you don't know.
Yeah.
Basically what he says to him. And that's the end of that scene. So we get over to good old Aang flying into Roku Island, getting ready to stream some TV service. But yeah, he's going to Roku's temple, which is in the Fire Nation. So he's going by himself because Katara and Sokka are still trapped in the spirit world.
Right.
With
right.
Ko. Is it Ko?
It is Ko.
Okay.
Yeah, he has to go see Roku to commune with him because he needs to find out how he defeated Ko
in the past.
Because he's the only one who's ever gone toe-to-toe with him and defeated him.
Yeah. So he gets in the temple, and first he hides because he sees people, and then he's like, you know what? These are guys who are protecting a temple for the Avatar. They understand, you know? So he pulls down and he's like, hello, friends. I'm the Avatar. And they're like, we know, motherfucker. And just whoosh, fire comes out. They're getting ready to attack Aang. Aang starts to run. Again, this whole thing is kind of feels rushed, but they had to, which I didn't
a little
like.
Bit.
Like when the guy grabs him, he's like, I'm here to help. Secret passage. Here you go. And I don't want to compare as much, but this whole thing was an episode by itself in the animated show. I don't want them to do what they did in the animated show. I get why they didn't. But it just felt very rushed to get to Roku. And then even when he gets to the guy who gets him in there is like, hey, I'll hold him off as long as I can so you can talk to Roku.
Right.
And even talking to Roku went really quick and figuring everything out. But I love Roku, man.
Roku was definitely funny. You know what? He kind of reminded me like if Iroh became an avatar a little
bit. Oh, yeah, for sure. He was sitting there and he's like, who dares comes to my domain? And he's like, shouldn't you bow your head? Shouldn't you avert your eyes? Shouldn't you hop on one foot? And then Aang's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he knows he's messing with them then.
Yeah, so he laughs and they have a good conversation. I actually hope we get one. Roku's story is dope. You get a lot of it in the animated show. I hope we get more of him. Because I feel like in the animated show, Roku and Aang, they talk a lot. They're very connected. Because
I
Roku was the...
I don't remember for sure. Because he was the last Avatar,
he's
right?
He's the previous Avatar.
Right,
so
right.
I would assume that's kind of like there's a deeper connection there because they're so close in time.
Yeah, when he even says to Aang, he's like, I thought you would have come to seek my advice sooner.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if he was saying that because... it's been 100 years, or if it's just because he's been so delayed on his journey, because he's making all these stops to help people. He's helping the people in Kyoshi. He's helping the people in Omashu. He's helping the people in the woods.
Yeah.
You know, with
and even Aang mentions Kyoshi. So, well, I have to do this.
Right.
And
he
makes fun of Kyoshi. He's like, that's very Kyoshi. She's very, and he just postures himself up and like walks real awkward. Yeah, a good interaction, but he asks, Roku, how did you defeat Ko? He's like, oh, I didn't defeat Ko. I took something from him.
Right.
Which kind of goes to a flashback of last episode. Ko says, I thought you were going to give something back to me
right.
that you took, because obviously it's still like the Avatar spark.
When at first Roku didn't even want to tell him about Ko, like he was very apprehensive.
Yeah, because Ko's a powerful beast.
Right, right. And so he eventually breaks down and tells him, you know, that he had taken from him, a totem.
Yeah.
And it was essentially a totem of Ko's mother.
Yeah.
Who I guess has given everyone identity and given everyone faces.
Yeah.
So those, I definitely liked this interaction.
I like the most, the thing I like the most is at one point Roku tells him like all avatars are different.
Right.
You don't have to follow the same exact steps as the previous avatars. Kyoshi was very straightforward and tense. Roku's a little bit more lighthearted. And even said there are times where you can use violence, but there's also times you can be a diplomat. Like, you don't have to... you follow your own way of being an avatar, basically. Which I thought was cool. That's a good thing for Aang to hear, because I think at this point he was on a one-set mind of, like, this
well,
is
yeah,
who the avatar is.
The last time he talked to Kyoshi, she's basically like, yo, you gotta be a merciless, ruthless warrior.
You gotta be a motherfucker.
Yeah. And Roku is saying there's a time and place for that. But, you know, obviously there's also other ways that you can be the avatar and help people. Now, I don't know if the avatars, I mean, obviously we know Roku, I'm sorry, we know Kyoshi knows what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And Roku didn't really seem to touch on that a whole lot. I'd be interested to see, though, like, obviously Roku is a firebender, right?
Kind of did.
But my thing is, he
it's a little secret touch to it.
He's a firebender. He doesn't seem to express like any sort of like beef with how the Fire Nation has been conducting themselves
for the last 100 years. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and so I'm like, if I'm the last firebender avatar, and I see what they're doing,
I'm upset.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. He is. He laid down a little hint. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. Yeah, he laid down a little hint. Again, that's because I watched the animated show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you. I think the interaction was great. I hope we get more Roku. I kind of
shall see.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
So I think this is where they then go to the flashback with
right, because so what happens
at the war table.
Right after Aang leaves with Roku, he goes outside the temple room.
Oh, yes.
And he sees all the guards and the person who was going to protect him knocked out. They were paralyzed. June, mm-hmm. she got there, and her little snouty dog thing has a tongue that when it hits you, it paralyzes you. So it gets Aang right on the neck. He goes bye-bye. He goes night-night.
Yo, tell me why, though, when he came out of there, all the protectors of the temple were there, like laid out. I thought, damn, yo,
that dude,
the other dude that was protecting him or trying to buy him some time
bought a lot, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He murked these dudes, so I was kind of surprised then. And then when June came in on her little beast, I was like,
there she is.
All right,
which they do hint to, because right before he gets to the temple, sometime in there, she sniffs out at one of his like threads of his clothing.
Yeah, it was like in the woods, something got caught on a tree or whatever.
Yeah, so
like, all right, now you've got the scent,
let's go get him.
Yeah.
And you kind of see how the dog thing smells, which is cool.
Yeah. So knocks Aang clearly out,
and that's when we get the flashback for Zuko in the war room meeting. So basically they're trying to figure out how to defeat an Earth Kingdom battalion or whatever,
right?
And they're coming up with all these options, they're not working, and then Fire Lord Ozai asks Zuko to come up with some options, and everything he comes up with, he like goes, "Well, they're doing this. Well, how about we put tanks over the cliff?" He's like, "They're freaking earthbenders, you idiot!" You know,
yeah,
in front of everybody. You know,
yeah, he's eviscerating him at this point,
and he kind of shows in his face that he's disappointed that you couldn't come up with a good option.
Right.
So another general has an option where you send in the group, the 31st, and you send them
the 31st.
41st. What did I say?
You said 31st.
The 31st, dude. The 31st. The 41st. They come in and they're going to go full head on into the earthbenders, which is the same idea. It's a distraction.
Right.
And that way another group can attack from a different side.
Right. Right.
And it's the same thing that Sojin did, basically. Sojin?
Sozin.
Sozin. Sozin. Did he made he was like, "Look over here, earthbenders," and then it was like,
right,
"Now we're killing
right
airbenders." So basically that happens. They're like, "That's the best way to do it." Zuko's like, "But they're all gonna die."
Yeah, he basically says like, there's no way for them to retreat, and they're like, "Yeah, we know."
Yeah, and then they mention they're all rookies, like they're not really important. Like so they're like, "Yeah, we know," and he's just there and it's quiet for a little bit. They're talking, and he goes, "It's a terrible plan."
Yeah.
And he kind of has an outburst saying, like, he thinks it's a dumb idea. Why would we do that to, you know, people who are fighting for us? And they're like, "That's the price of war." So he's getting into an argument with the general, and then Ozai cuts it off. And he's like, "There's only one way to settle this. Agni Kai," which is a rap battle. Yeah. So then we have, like, okay, they're going to have an Agni Kai. Boom. Do you just want to keep going with Zuko, or do you want to?
Let's just fin it. Well, see, there's some intertwinement here because of the later part. I think we finish out just this part right here.
The Agni Kai.
The Agni Kai.
All right, yes. So rap battle. Mekhi Phifer's there. So Zuko's about to bust it. No, so Zuko's getting ready for a fight.
Right, and in Agni Kai, it's essentially kind of like...
It's a one-on-one fight.
Right, and it's to essentially see, well, who is the stronger firebender, and the person who's victorious then, you
know, is in the right.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, this whole argument is between the lieutenant or the general, whoever it was there with Ozai.
Ozai.
And Zuko. And so, you know, he's like, okay, y'all got to settle this. Agni Kai, right? So they show then they're kind of just in this courtyard area. They've got the area where they'll be fighting. And you see Zuko, you know, no shirt. He's just chilling. He's kind of preparing for the battle. And all of a sudden then you don't hear the general dude. You hear Ozai.
Yeah, he's like, get ready.
Right. And they're like, whoa, what?
So Zuko turns around and he's like, I thought I was supposed to fight him. He's like, you disrespecting him disrespects me.
Right.
And even Iroh's like, the fuck you doing?
Well, and he's, Ozai, you know, he says, you know, this is my plan, my army.
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand that that's why he thought he needed to do this, but like, come
he's,
on, bro.
He's testing his son out. And here's what I hate. This is the part I hate. Iroh goes, Ozai, it's your son. He goes, we'll see.
Right.
I'm like, damn, bro.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. So they fight. And I'm going to be honest with you, Zuko putting up a fight.
Zuko did a lot better than I thought he was going to because, you know, obviously this is a long time ago.
Yeah, so he's 13 years probably, ago. Yeah.
You know, he's very young. But it just goes to show how hard he had probably been working and training. Clearly, there was no point where he had the upper hand.
No.
But sort of.
There was a point where he actually could get a shot in on
right.
Ozai. And he freezes because, well, it's his dad. He doesn't want to freaking punch his dad in the face with a fireball. You know? So he stops. Well, then Ozai takes him down and says to him, compassion? No.
That I don't think that happens.
No, this is yet. Where he says it. And we'll bring it up. Okay, we'll bring it up later because it is important later. But he says something like compassion or something that is weakness.
Right.
So and then, you know, the way he knocked him down, actually, he hit him with a fireball on his shoulder and he's got a burn mark here. And then so as he's down on the ground, you start to see him like form a fireball in his hand and he starts covering up Zuko's eye. And then it goes to Iroh, who looks away. And freaking Azula's just.
Dude, she's like enjoying.
Yeah,
this.
She's like, oh, look at that.
Yeah.
This is fun. Do it again.
Yeah.
You know, so then that's
how you figure out how he got his burn scar
yep.
on his face.
And
his yeah. dad gave it to him.
Yeah.
Messed up.
Yeah. Do we do recovery? No. That's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I think we come back to that a little bit later because that the next scene in that whole part of the story plays an important part.
Yeah.
That we should circle back to. So let's get back to Aang here.
Aang right? on his adventure.
So Aang is waking up now from you know, having been knocked out by Jun and her little beast.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in a cave with him. He's tied up and he's talking with her and basically like, hey, like, you got to let me go. There's lives at stake here. I got to get back to my friends. And she's just like, no, because you know what? I'm getting paid. Right
yeah.
Now.
I've heard all the stories about how you're going to save the world. I like the world the way it is.
Right. Right. So she's, you know, a bounty hunter.
So she just does whatever anybody right. pays her to do.
Yeah, whoever's paying her, she's fine with it. And the kind of wild, wild westishness of the world suits her.
Yeah.
And so shortly after that, you see Iroh and Zuko come in.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you actually got him. Like, okay.
Oh, snap. Cool.
Good. I will say this. Zuko had, like, put up such a stink about using her. You know, and then Iroh was like, look, like, this is what she
when
does.
When in Rome, yeah.
You know, let's just let her do her thing. I thought he was going to, like, say something here and
nah,
be upset
too,
about it.
He was too excited.
I think
man.
He was.
But
because well, he had him before, let him slip out of his fingers.
I want to make a point here.
Okay.
She was hitting on Iroh the first time.
Oh, she definitely was. Yeah.
See?
But it's, but like, okay, I just didn't think he was that she was talking about him at first because.
That's disrespectful to Uncle Iroh.
Well, she said,
he's a sexy
your
man.
Dad's cute. Everyone, I shouldn't say everyone, most people know who Zuko is, right?
Yeah.
Everyone knows who Ozai is. So I just was confused as to why she was saying your dad, meaning Iroh.
Because they travel around and it seems like.
I get it now, but that was a bit of a disconnect because
I just wanted
everyone
to say
knows
I was
who Ozai
right.
is. Most people know who Zuko is. So it just didn't make sense for me to in my head for her to be like, your dad's cute, because I'm thinking she actually means his real dad. But whatever.
Either way, I was right.
You were.
So they have Aang. They put him in the back of a cart. They're on an adventure back to take him to the Fire Nation or to the boat, I guess. And Aang's pleading, like,
yeah,
can you please just let me go? Do you understand what it's like to sacrifice and try to save people? Da, 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 da. After, like, time and time saying that, Zuko's like, yeah, I do. And kind of annoyed. And he's like, then please let me go. And he's just like,
no.
No. So they keep going. And out of nowhere, a bunch of Fire Nation soldiers ambush them.
Right. Surround them completely. I mean, it's a couple dozen of them, I think.
Oh, yeah. And I love this again because Zuko's like, do you know who I am? And then somebody comes out. Oh, yeah, we know who you are. It's freaking Admiral Zhao.
Admiral Zhao coming in to mess everything up again.
Per the huge man, the dirty dog. And I love because Zuko's like, over my dead body. He's like, while I would like that, just hand him over.
Yeah.
And you find out here that he also got sent these archers. I can't remember the name of them, but they can hit a glowing fly.
He said they could shoot the wings off of a glow fly from 1,000 paces.
Yeah. So these people are accurate.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, when they shoot one, they take off Uncle Iroh's hair above his head a little bit.
Yeah.
And so Iroh kind of like lets Zuko know, like, I mean, he got to let him take them. There's nothing we can do right now.
Yeah.
And Zuko, again, after they walk away with Aang and everything, is throwing a bit of a fit. Like, he's pissed. He screams out loud. And Iroh's trying to tell him, like, hey, he won this time. He's going to make a mistake. That's when we'll capitalize.
Right.
It's not over. But Zuko, obviously, freaking out because this is the second time he's had Aang and lost
him. Away.
Yeah. So, a little frustrating.
Well, and to be honest, I mean, I'm not surprised that he reacted the way he did. He's, like we mentioned earlier, he's still a kid. He's very inexperienced. He doesn't see the larger picture.
Right.
Whereas Iroh, much older, very experienced in a lot of different parts of war, in strategy, and he knows the type of person that Zhao is.
Yeah.
So he knows, you know, okay, yeah, he's mentioned some. As soon as he, you know, slips up, that's when we'll make our move.
Yeah.
The crazy thing about this whole situation then, I felt, was, like I said earlier, in my opinion, that moment where he became Admiral Zhao versus Commander Zhao, that was his peak, because this is where you start to see then, Iroh knows he's going to mess up. So he's going to be on a downward trend here. That it's kind of foreshadowing in a way, in my opinion. Yeah. Obviously, you've seen more, so you know that there's something else that happens. But I just felt like, okay, Zhao, you fucked up, and you just don't know it yet.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, Aang is trapped, and so Zuko asks where he's taking him, and Zhao just goes ahead and
total typical like villain.
Yeah,
here's, you know, stuff like, here's my plan. I'm going to tell you exactly what's happening.
He's going to be here, but then Iroh does tell Zuko, like, hey, you know why he told you that, right? Because that place is impenetrable.
Right.
Like, he's being cocky.
Yeah, and he even says,
which was, you know, a mistake.
Right. And he even says to him, like, many armies have tried to, you know, to get into this place and fail.
Helm's Deep type status.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Omashu type status.
Oh, shit, son. So he's like, well, I don't know what to do. We're going to go back to the ship, I guess. Flash forward, Aang's trapped. Zhao's being all cocky about it. He has a scribe writing down how he caught him, you know?
Right.
Put him in.
Right.
Remember, it's two shackles. Two for his arms.
There's four guards, not three.
Yeah, and all this type of stuff. And he's just like, let's get some word from the Avatar himself, you know? And right. He's just being a dick about it.
But he's playing it so well.
Oh, he's so good.
I mean, he's an asshole. And it's one of those things where it's like, you probably should dislike him a lot, but
I love him.
Yeah, he's a great character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you come to find out he gives a nice speech to the soldiers he has there because they called the Avatar.
Right.
He's like, there's going to be a lot more fights ahead, but tonight we party.
Yeah,
and we party celebrate. Hard, Andrew W.K. style.
Yeah.
Throwback, now, by the way.
We didn't mention it yet, but the title of this episode is Masks.
And throughout the show, Uncle Iroh has a little background speech talking about why people wear masks and stuff. It's pretty deep.
Yeah.
So he's getting ready to throw a party. All the stores are pumped, so they got to call in some alcohol, right? So you see out in the forest a carriage coming out with the alcohol in it, and up in the trees a little somebody Somebody wearing a blue mask.
You know what this reminded me of, man?
Three Ninjas.
Yes!
I knew it. I knew it, bro.
I'm like watching this, and I'm like, and even when I watched it on the
animated show.
Like, damn, yo, it's Three Ninjas. I don't remember if that was it Colt was the blue one? I feel like he might have been.
I just remember Rocky Loves Emily. Rocky Loves Emily.
Yeah. But, that's a throwback there for those of you that don't know. But anyway, yeah. So this masked character gets underneath the cart to sneak in.
Yeah.
Right.
And he sneaks in through a tunnel and he gets down to where Aang is. And he starts beating up some guards, but you can't see it. It's around a corner.
Yeah. So, like, you know, there's some rustling, whatever, and it's very, very Metal Gear Solid-like. Like, you get that exclamation point above your head, and it's like, huh, what was that?
Yeah.
And the guards, like, go around the corner. They get beat up. The other guards hear the commotion. They go around the corner. They get beat up.
Yeah, the blue demon dude, mask guy, is up actually on the ceiling at one point hiding to attack him, which is pretty dope.
Right.
And then he turns the corner, and there's two guards left, and one of them's getting ready to sound the alarm. He does a little throwing knife thing to knock it out, which was cool. Beats them up, pushes one through the door, and you see from Aang's point of view, the door just blasts open, and here's this blue demon, and it's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, he doesn't know who this guy is, and he thinks he's there to attack him or kill him.
Yeah, assassinate him, maybe, yeah.
Now, before we continue, this was one of the moments in the show that I felt was lacking a little bit. I wanted more of a fight here. I wanted to see more of the battling.
I would have loved to have seen this blue demon character freaking, you know, just making moves on people.
Right.
Right. I know he seems more like an assassin, so you're not going to see a lot of, like, crazy. But, like, I would like to see a little bit of sword fight going on and dodging fire blows and all that.
Right. Exactly.
I agree. And we get a little bit more, which is nice. It's not terrible, but it's not great either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I was hoping to see a little more fighting.
The Blue Demon was such a cool character. And it was he's a cool character because he's fighting all these firebenders, and he's just a regular dude.
Yeah, not bending.
He's not bending. He's just got his swords and his weapons and whatever. And I feel like that should have been highlighted more. You realize who it, you know, this character is and why they're there
right
a little bit later. But I just think the fact that he goes in and he's going to go after the Avatar and he has to go through this impenetrable fortress, all these guards and whatever, and he's just a regular dude with some swords and some weapons, that should have been highlighted more.
Yeah, because then I feel like sword play.
The payoff here with this character's arc, which is very small, and this arc is very short.
Yeah,
I feel like the payoff would have been more, would have been better, would have been more, I don't know, fulfilling if you got more of the action and everything with him.
I 100% agree, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But yeah, he ends up slicing the chains off and freeing Aang. Aang's like, well, who are you? And he doesn't say a word. He's like, that's right, we'll talk later.
Yeah, we gotta get out of here.
Yeah, so they're trying to escape. Admiral Zhao. It's getting late. I'm getting tired.
It is.
Admiral Zhao sees that Aang escaped. So then he like alerts all the guards. They're looking for him.
The alarm!
And a big fight breaks out. While I don't mind this fight, still a little bit too much slow-mo in it, but the CGI was kind of off in some points.
I agree.
Aang climbs on top of just like a little, like, what are they called? Ramparts on the tower? Why was that CGI'd?
I don't know. It did look really weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so strange how sometimes the CGI looks amazing in this, and then other times it looks terrible.
Yeah, like it's
and this
very
was one
noticeable.
Of those moments again. Like I feel like we haven't made a bad comment about the CGI in a while. Like maybe since episode
one,
two
maybe.
Or three.
Oh yeah.
No, there was definitely in episode two there was some bad CGI.
It was episode two. Yeah, it was episode two. Yeah.
Maybe three there might have been some, but ever since then four, five, you know those episodes are good. So it's just strange to me how inconsistent it's been. And if I had any big gripe overall about the show, that's it. It's how up and down the CGI has been. A lot of people don't like the changes that have been made. A lot of people don't like the storyline itself. A lot of people don't like the acting. This is the thing that kind of just takes me out of the moment.
It does. Yeah, cause the
because
fighting,
then I'm focusing on that.
Right, because the fighting wasn't bad. Like, there's even a part where they're working together and they're taking down the soldiers together. Right. I was like, this is dope. Like, Aang jumps on the Blue Demon's back, does a little backflip, does a little power slam, you know, and it's just, and the Blue Demon's just fighting people off like crazy. And I'm like, this is dope. And we get a little, again, we get a little Helm's Deep moment here where soldiers are trying to climb up this wall that the Aang and the Blue Demon are on, and they're kicking these ladders off. And I'm just like, this reminds me of Helm's Deep. This is great.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they're trying to find a way to escape. Aang thinks of something. He grabs two ladders and tells Zuko to grab one. Tells the Blue Demon to grab one. And they start to use them as like long stilt legs to try to get out, and they're about to get out, and Zhao shoots them down.
Yeah.
So this is the moment that's in the show, and I'm glad that in the anime show, and this is a great moment here.
They kept this very true to what the show happened,
and I liked it a lot. So Zhao's like, "Stop, stop!" He tells all his guards to stop. He's like, "We need the Avatar alive," which the Blue Demon realizes, looks at Aang, and is like, "Oh, really?" And puts swords around Aang's neck, and Zhao's like, "He ain't gonna do that. He ain't gonna kill him." Blue Demon starts to get a little cut on Aang. He starts bleeding. I think we're losing Alex, guys. This is it. This is it.
I took a sip of my iced tea and definitely went down the wrong pipe. Anyway, I'm good now. I'm good. We're back.
But so the Blue Demon starts to make a little cut on Aang's neck to show, hey, I'll kill this motherfucker right now.
Yeah.
So Zhao's like, well, I can't need him that. Alive. He's like,
right.
Open the gates. Open the gates. So, Blue Demon and Aang back out. We forgot about some people. Some archers. The Admiral Zhao guy.
Yes.
So, Admiral Zhao goes up top and he's like, you got a clear shot? And she's like, fuck yeah, dude. I'm me, you know?
Yeah.
She takes a shot, hits the freaking Blue Demon's mask right top of the dome. Knocks it back, chips it a little bit. And Aang's like, oh, crap. And so, I think they're going to take another shot.
Yeah, right before he's about to take another shot, he does like this whirlwind to like hiccup dust and essentially obscure their
vision.
It's
like a big old smoke bomb, it almost looks like. Yeah,
pretty much.
I thought this was pretty dope. Like, it looked cool. I thought it was a good idea that he did it. You know, and he just flies up and she's like, I don't have a shot now.
Yeah.
No shit, right? Like, Zhao looks over at her.
Can you see through this?
You got a shot now? No. So he screams, like, go get the mask guy and grab the Avatar. And Aang's ready to run, and he's like,
he turns back.
He's like, I should probably save this person who saved me. So he does. This is where we find out.
Yeah.
The Blue Demon is, if I didn't blow it earlier, is Zuko.
Yeah, he lifts up his mask and he sees that it's Zuko, and he's surprised.
Yeah.
You know, because Zuko pretty much hates him.
Yeah.
And all he's trying to do, his whole journey, is try and capture him. But he does end up rescuing him. When Zuko comes back, because he's not dead, he's just knocked out.
Got a mean cut on his head.
Yeah, he's got a big old cut on his head from the arrow. But they're kind of holed up in a cabin or a shack or something.
A little shed in the woods somewhere.
Yeah.
And the Fire Nation's looking for him. And this is, I love this. It's a great scene in the animated show. It's a great scene in this. Like, they have a heart-to-heart almost. And it starts off with Aang like saying, I'm going to ask you something. It's a little personal.
Yeah.
I
thought he was going to say, like, yo, how'd you get that scar on your face, bro?
Yo, I thought he was.
I thought he was, man. Because when he said it's personal, I'm like, oh, snap. What is he about to say?
Yeah. And he goes, goat fur or rabbit fur? And you're like, what the fuck? He's like, for your pen.
Yeah.
That you used to draw in your notebook that I stole. You know, I had to practice, and the monk said it was poopy. You know?
Yeah, he's talking about his calligraphy for his writing. And he basically thanks Zuko because the notebook that he stole, Zuko had a bunch of notes on all the past avatars. And that's what's been helping him learn about things and help him on his journey. And the whole time, Zuko's kind of just there, and he's not really saying much.
He's a little standoffish.
Yeah, very standoffish, because he's hurt right now. So he's
he can't grab Aang. He's concussed pretty bad.
Pretty bad, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would assume, because he can barely walk.
Yeah, he tries to get up at one point, and Aang's like, nah,
brah,
you gotta chill.
You hurt. And then so they're having that conversation, and he gives up a little bit, and he says, it makes him laugh by saying, sometimes when I would meditate, I'd fall asleep. I don't know how they knew. I guess it doesn't help that I snored.
Yeah.
And Zuko gets a little smile on him. So then he answers, and he's like, goat fur. It's a little more stiff. I can be a little. And they start comparing lives a little bit. Like, they both had to do a lot of the same practices and stuff growing up and everything.
Right.
And they kind of go through a nice conversation here. And then Zuko gets mad because I think Aang pretty much says to him, like, you should show some compassion.
Right.
And if you remember, Ozai told him compassion is
a sign of weakness.
Yeah. So he starts yelling at him, and then he even says to him, compassion is a sign of weakness, and tries to fight Aang. So Aang, like, pushes him back a little bit of air, but knocks him out again. And I love this part. This is Aang, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't mean to hurt you. It seems like you've been hurt enough.
Right.
And I'm like, dang, man, even the guy who's trying to capture you, you're still that Aang. You're a nice kid and you're a monk, you know, so you don't really want to be violent and you care about other people. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, and in this scene too, you know, they're hiding there because the Fire Nation soldiers are looking for them. And at the very beginning of it, when Zuko comes to, he's like, oh, I've got a boat, you know, nearby. And Aang's just like, no, well, we can't get to it now because of, you know, these guys looking for us. He knocks Zuko out again. And when we come back, then we see that he's put Zuko in the boat. And Zuko comes up and he's just like, you know, okay, realizes where he is. Aang's on the shoreline. And he's essentially like, hey, man, you know, thanks for everything, but this is where we're parting ways.
Yeah, again, this was line for line, basically, from the show. He says to him, he's like, you know, the worst thing about being Frozen Knights for 100 years is all my friends are gone.
Right.
I even had a friend that was in the Fire Nation, my best friend. And he says to him, he's like, do you think in that time, you and I could have been friends?
Yeah.
And Zuko just gets pissed off, tries to flameo him again. And Aang stops him and pushes him off ashore.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and clearly at this point, we realize that Zuko's obviously much more hurt than, physically hurt than we think he is. Because, you know, he's a formidable fighter.
Yeah, but he's
just not even able to put up anything against Aang.
After one fireball, it looks like he's done. He can't move.
Yeah.
So
when he blows away Zuko's attack, it also pushes the boat off.
Yeah.
You know, for him to get away.
Yeah. So we have that interaction, and then we get a real nice flashback, final flashback for Zuko. Iroh's taking care of him in the bed right after the Agni Kai. He's like, hey, you're going to get full vision back. They're making special ointment for you. All this stuff. He's like, good thing you get full vision back because you get to bathe in this beauty, you know? So it's still Iroh trying to be like uplifting to Zuko and tell him you'll be okay and everything. And as he's leaving, Ozai's coming in.
Yeah.
And they have a nice standoff. Dude, for me, I was like, can they just fight, please?
Dude, I love Ozai. Daniel Dae-Kim is doing such a good job of playing Lord Ozai. I don't think there's anybody that they could have cast that would have been better.
No.
Before we get into this part, though, there's one thing that kind of was an earlier scene that kind of happens concurrently while this scene is happening that I want to touch on.
Yeah, for sure.
When Admiral Zhao had kind of taken over things, and Lieutenant G was talking with Iroh, and he had his little outburst and whatever. You know, he says something along the lines of, like, you know, kind of Zuko's like selfish and doesn't care about anybody but himself or whatever. And Iroh's just like, nah, like you're wrong about what you think you know about Zuko.
Zuko, yeah,
and that he does care for other people,
yeah,
more than anyone on this boat realizes.
Oh, yeah.
And that plays a very important part in the ending of
this whole episode, yeah.
Right, right. So we're here then. Zuko's recovering. Ozai comes in. He's like, okay, the doctors are saying you're going to heal quickly. Great.
Yeah. By the way, again, but I want Ozai and Iroh, I just want them to fight before the show's over.
Yeah.
I know we didn't get it in the animated show, but come on.
That is a change that if they made it, I would be
in
hella happy.
Hell yeah. Make it a whole episode.
It's essentially the two
strongest
firebenders.
Yeah.
Some might argue
that Iroh's stronger, bro.
Well, I was going to say, some might argue for Azula. You obviously don't see any of it.
Yeah,
right now.
I would say at that moment, and even in this moment, 3 years later, I don't think Azula's the strongest yet. She climbs her power up quick.
Yeah, by the end of the animated show, some people would make the argument that she
is the strongest.
Could be one of.
Oh, you know, 100%.
But definitely Iroh and Ozai are without a doubt like, okay, these are the top tier dudes.
Yeah, that'd be a great fight to see. So anyway, Ozai gets to bedside and is like, hey, you know, you're recovering. Here's this stuff, all this stuff. I'm sorry, but compassion is weakness. He says it again to him. And he's just like, you have to understand that and blah, blah, blah. And I forget quite what Zuko says to him. But he's like, the weak can get stronger. You just have to give him time. And he says it like kind of in a nice way. And he has a little bit of tears and a smirk towards his dad, right?
Right.
And you start to see Ozai almost tear up a little bit. And I'm like, is he about to get real sweet, you know?
I don't think I noticed that.
Yeah.
I don't think I noticed that.
It's not out of sadness, at least for that, like that his son's hurt. It was anger.
Yeah.
He's like, living in these walls has made you weak. Like, you still don't get it. Da, 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 da. You're just like your mother, which is a huge, huge thing for Zuko, right?
Right.
Which I hope we get. That's why I wish there were more than 8 episodes a season, because you need a lot of flashbacks and stuff. But you know what? Flashbacks have been good this season.
Yeah, they've done a good job with them. I agree.
So this is where he's like, you know what? Maybe we'll see how the world out there can change you.
Yeah.
And you can tell he's like thinking of like, what can I send him out there to do to make it so he won't come back for a long time?
Yeah, he's basically saying like, you haven't learned from any of the lessons here in the Fire Nation. Maybe the world needs to teach you a lesson.
Yeah.
So he basically tells him, he's like, you are banished.
You're banished, but he didn't want to say it in that way. He's like, you can't come back until you find our nation's greatest threat, until you find the Avatar.
Right.
Which Zuko starts to freaking, tears are flowing. He's upset. Yeah. He's like, I'm banished. Like, that's basically what it is. You don't want me around anymore.
Yeah.
And Iroh's pissed off. He's like, you can't do this. Da, da, da. And as Ozai's leaving, he says, and since you care about the 41st so much, you can take them along as your crew.
Right.
And it's like, okay. And you just look over at Zuko and he's covering his face with his hands. He's crying and it's like, damn, this sucks.
I mean, I would be too. If my dad is like, you know what?
You weak bitch. Get the fuck out of here.
He basically disowned him. I care about you so little that I don't want to see you anymore.
Yeah. There's no love there. It's all about, can you do what I need you to do as the next in line, you know,
right,
as the heir. So yeah, we get that. And then we get back to this time. Iroh's waiting on the boat for Zuko, the big ship for Zuko to come on. They don't know really where he's at.
Nobody actually knows that Zuko left to be the blue demon and try to save Aang. They know that he's gone.
Yeah.
But they don't know what he's doing or where he went.
Yeah. So Zhi comes up to Iroh and is like, hey, you can go rest.
We'll keep an eye out
for you. Yeah. And we'll come get you right when he gets here. And I was like, nah, I'll wait a little bit. And as Zhi's walking away, I was like, hey, you know, just so
you
know,
you were wrong.
You told you were wrong about Zuko, how he doesn't care about anybody.
Right.
And he tells him, like, you know, you were going to get sent into...
to be slaughtered, essentially.
Yeah, be slaughtered just for a sacrificial
reason. He tells him the whole reason that all of this whole storyline started was because Zuko wanted to save this 41st battalion.
And you see,
and this guy realizes.
He goes, we're the 41st. Yeah. The 31st. We're the 41st.
Yeah, so essentially, Iroh lets him know, like, everyone on this ship is alive because of the sacrifice that
Zuko made, being banished for you guys.
Right.
Yeah, so this is right here the change that they made from the animated show that I love so much. That wasn't a storyline at all.
Right.
And I was like, this is so good.
Yeah.
So they see, not too long after this conversation, Zuko's back. They see him out there. They get him on the ship. And they all line up, you know, and G's like, our prince has returned.
Yeah.
So he is their prince now. And they all line up and they do salutes as he's walking through. And Zuko's kind of like, what's happening? And Iroh says, I guess they missed you at music night.
I was dying.
Oh, my God. It was so good. But then what I love is you see Zuko's tearing up a little bit. But Iroh, man, the tears are swelling. He's proud of his boy, you know?
Yeah.
And, he does, again, I guess we should rewind here. There's a part two where Iroh's like yelling at him a little bit. Like, next time you go off somewhere, make sure you let me know that you're alive. There are some people who care about, and then he goes, things like that. He wanted to say about you.
Right.
But he says things like that, and then all that happens. But yeah, the ending is Iroh has he's talking over everything, like I said, in the background about masks. And he pretty much puts Zuko to bed, covers him up, tucks him in for the night, and he finds the mask. And he just puts it away. And the last words is Iroh, and then we'll see some flash of Aang saving his friends. He gives the totem to Ko.
Yeah.
The villagers and his friends are released and all that. And then, but the ending of it is, he says, sometimes you're really that person, because the person in the mask is actually who you are.
Right.
Hinting that Zuko is good, you know? He's like, he's not all bad. But, yeah, that's about it for me.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, the episode was good overall. I think, I totally forgot. And it's the same thing that happens every time where, and this is maybe petty, maybe a bit nitpicky. The two reasons why I gave this a little bit lower of a rating was, one, I wanted more of the blue mask. I thought that highlighting the fact that Zuko's taken out these Fire Nation dudes, no bending, just regular, you know, regular fighting. That payoff of finding out, oh, damn, it's Zuko, would have been so much better.
You'd be like, damn, he's that good of a fighter without fire?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that was my one big gripe with this episode. But then two, and again, this is nitpicky or whatever, but when Aang, when he goes into the Avatar state or to like commune with Roku, and they show his arrow start glowing, like, that CGI also was really bad. And yeah, it happens every time. Every time they show his tattoos glowing, it almost looks like bad Photoshop. I don't know why. Maybe I'm being too critical of it. But
I do feel like that would be hard to do. But I don't know how you... But, you know...
I don't know.
Voldemort did it okay. So... The movie.
Right. I hear you. But I'm just saying, like, overall, just that and the CGI for like
the fight
at the stronghold where they're at, that just was weird. So I gave it a little bit lower of a rating because of that. Overall, still a great episode. Mm-hmm. The story, the plot was phenomenal. I am a little sad because it's, you know, coming to a close here with the rest of the season, and I'm wondering where they're gonna go because, you know, they're obviously the whole point of the beginning of this journey with Team Avatar is they're trying to get to the Northern Water Temple.
Yeah.
And so they're probably going to get there soon. I feel like there's enough that happens at the Northern Water Temple from what I remember that they could have made it a couple of episodes here in the show, and I don't think they're going to. So I'm just wondering, what are they going to compact? What are they going to bring in? Are they going to start to bring in stuff from later books that, you know, are mixed in? Because in this season, there were some episodes, Omashu in particular, where there were like two or three other storylines from other episodes that kind of got mashed into one.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that's going to happen in these last two episodes. Like, how much are they going to compact? How much are they going to try and tie in?
Yeah. I will give them credit. So, like, the whole bringing... I do wish, and for the village, the one thing I didn't like is Aang fought the spirit that was angered. You never saw that resolved. You didn't see the angered spirit get resolved.
Yeah.
You saw the villagers get saved. We also, here's what I give them credit. They decided to bring in Sokka and Katara into the spirit world when that didn't happen in the show, where that's where they get knocked out.
Yeah.
And that was kind of mixing in the storyline of the village and this blue demon thing, because what happens in the show is the blue demon thing is all on its own. What happens is they eat some weird frogs or something like that.
Oh, I forgot about
it. Or no, they get really sick. Katara and Sokka do.
Is that what it was?
Okay. And yeah, so Aang, he found out something where he has to go get some slippery frozen frogs, but they have to be frozen first. And it's all the way up in this mountain somewhere. But then that's how he's up there, and I think Zhao captures him. On his way, he's like, I gotta save my friends, they're really sick, you know?
Yeah.
But I'll give him credit, like, that's how they were able to mix two storylines together. Like, hey, they went to the spirit realm and got trapped in there. So, again, they're trying their best, and I think they do a good job with it, but they have to compact so much into these episodes.
Right.
And,
right.
I mean, they're 40-some minutes to an hour, and they're doing a good job with it. I wish there was more episodes, because the more episodes and with the longer episodes, you get a lot more connection to everything. But so far, like I said, this episode, second time viewing it, I'm like, man, this show really is pretty darn good.
Yeah, I think some of the people out there that aren't enjoying the show and are hating on it, I think if they go back and watch, you know, those episodes again or watch the entire show again, that they might be okay. I wonder, too, though, because I haven't seen as much on the internet about it, that first week or so that the show was out, week and a half to 2 weeks even, there's just so much buzz about the show, and not a lot of it was good. I'm wondering how many people just watched those first maybe one or two episodes and then just never even finished it.
I'm sure a few did, but if you're a hardcore Avatar fan, I bet you watched all of them, even if you didn't like them. You know, but I think it's just one, just hating to hate, but two, it's like you want it to be an exact clone. It's like you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoyed this episode, man. I like the way I think my favorite episodes are when it's focused more on Zuko and Iroh and more of the people in the Fire Nation.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, I think they probably have a little bit more to offer as far as story goes and as far as plot goes.
And character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am still wondering, you know, moving forward with seasons 2 and 3, are they going to continue to just have it be 8 episodes? Are they going to be longer than that? Are they going to do maybe like a split thing where the last season is a part 1, part 2? Like, even if they make season 3 still be 8 episodes, would they do something where it's like, okay, you get the first 4 here and then the next 4 later? I don't know. I think it really just depends on how things go moving forward with reception of season 2 and stuff. But there's so many other things that happen that I wonder, what are they going to take out? What are they going to leave? What are they going to change? I think the thing I'm looking forward to the most after all of this is, one, Azula. Azula's such a cool character. I really hope that they do really well with her. And so far, the little glimpses we've gotten of her,
not bad,
are decent.
Yeah.
And two, I'm wondering if they're going to develop the, you know, romantic side of Aang and Katara.
There,
it doesn't seem like they're going to, which I'm not opposed to.
Yeah. There's just like no romance in this show other than Sokka.
Sokka's the only one that's had any sort of romance yet. But even then, it's like, okay, so even with him, there's like, you know, other people that come into the picture, and it's like, what are they going to do with that?
Yeah.
So we'll see. I overall, liking the show, anxious to see how these last 2 episodes go, and I know you've already watched them. I want to go ahead and finish watching it out before we record any more episodes, but I think I'm just gonna stick with it.
Yeah, you got 2 more. You might as well just do it week by week.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. All right.
But that's that's all for this episode. We are still doing our podcast on The Boys. Just started season 2, and we'll have more of that coming through. We are on all the socials now. I should say most of them. We're on X. We've been interacting with some people on there. We also have something that we're going to be teasing out over the next couple of days. Actually, by the time you listen to this,
you might
probably already be out there.
Yeah.
But there's another show that we're going to start covering soon that you should be checking out on our social media, that we'll be dropping hints about, that you'll probably already see at this point by the time you listen to this episode. And if we haven't revealed it yet, it's something that Billy and I are both familiar with. You have a little bit more familiarity with this franchise than I do, but something that nonetheless I'm still excited for.
Very excited for.
So we'll see where things go.
Too many shows, not enough hours in the day.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Billy and I have also been looking at what else is coming out over the rest of this year. Try and pick some shows that we're both excited for. But I think we're also going to be trying to bring some more short form content, you know, and maybe just some, you know, some fun stuff
on
TikTok and YouTube and wherever else. But thank you for listening as always. Oh, one last thing. We are super close. And by the time you hear this, it'll have already happened. We are almost at 200 downloads on our Avatar podcast.
Yeah, buddy.
Within a few weeks here. So thank you to all of you who have listened.
Thank you very much.
We really do appreciate it. If you've made it this far, shout out to every person that has listened.
Every person. We can't talk tonight. The 31st person.
Just thank you so much. And we look forward to bringing you some more content. But that's all for now.
Peace.
Peace.